Let's just say that you wouldn't expect the saints to be the happiest among the children of God, and yet they are. My friends in Christ, if you were at the school mass this last Wednesday, you're kind of disqualified from being able to participate. But I was feeling a little dizzy in the morning, and I came into mass, and I don't know if it's because I missed my breakfast or what, but I just was not going well. But I thought to myself, this could be a teaching moment. Now, I know this is probably the worst thing in the world to do, to sort of cry wolf, but I began the homily by saying, is there a doctor in here? Is there a doctor in here? I'm feeling a little dizzy again. No doctors? No hands? I saw a doctor at 8:30. We got one doctor. Is there another? Well, it was Catholic Schools Week all week long, and I wanted to make a point not so much about physical health, but the true meaning of a doctor. We might have some others that have doctorates. You might be able to guess what that means. Who are the doctors of the church, the great teachers? Have you ever thought about that? That doctors aren't just people that make people feel better, but they're people that teach the truth because they learned the truth. We were on the feast of St. Paul, the patron of this whole archdiocese. He was called the doctor of the nations. Why? Not because he went around with band-aids for those in need. Not because he healed the sick, which he did. But because he was the great teacher, as Jesus revealed himself in the gospel, as the great teacher of a truth that the world does not know, but yet strives and longs to know. We want to be happy. Jesus teaches us, he tells us, he invites us, he shows for us on the cross, and all the saints who follow after him want to teach us to be happy. That's why we're here. That's why we choose anything that we choose throughout the course of our lives, always in pursuit of happiness. One of these doctors of the church we celebrated this week as well, his name was Francis de Sales, and he said something beautiful that was reminding me through that film, through that little clip that was there at the beginning. Francis de Sales says, a miserable saint would be a very poor specimen of sanctity. The saints are not sad, he says. But let's ask the question about the stereotypes that we have of those who have those letters BL, blessed, or those who have those letters ST before their name. Our stereotypes might be something like stodgy or repressed, or sheltered, or pious, out of touch with their age, dense, killjoys. You could add perhaps your own. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you look honestly and sincerely at the saints, you will find that they found the secret of happiness in ways that we could only seek to imagine or hope to. The Beatitudes as the beatified. Beatified is another word for those on the path to holiness, on the path to sanctity. Those who have been made blessed, those whose lives have been set on fire with the very happiness of God and share it in this life, even through circumstances of great difficulty and darkness. They, like the Beatitudes, point to the cross. Just as Jesus himself spent his whole life taking one step after the next, towards the cross. There's a scripture that I love more than any other scripture in the whole New Testament, I would say. It's kind of a bold thing to say. But if I could have one scripture with me for the rest of my life, it would be this. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross and despised not its shame. In a beautiful way, the saints show us that joy inbreaks into the world when we allow God's teaching to find a reception in our hearts. The saints, the beatified, are those who have found, have discovered happiness. Going back to the image of the doctor, if you're given a prescription and you only take half the, if you only take half the pills that you need to take, is there any wonder why you don't heal, why you don't find the fullness of life that you desire? The saints are the ones that took the whole dose. They followed the teaching of Christ to the full, to the cross, even to the point of their last breath. And they themselves show us that joy and happiness is possible even here for people like you and me. That's so different, taking the whole dose, than questioning the wisdom of the doctor, questioning his motives, questioning his goodness. We all have a right to be leery. We want to come to know our doctor. That's why we need to come to know Jesus Christ, so that we can trust that what he says is for our good. But the saints show us that if we accept the promise that Jesus gives, and if we live for it and from it, we will find the happiness that he points to today. It's not one of those distant ideals set up that's an impossible thing to attain. Mother Teresa, St. John Paul II, Chiara Luce Bedano, they found that joy for which they were created. We often say about Jesus, the Word was made flesh in Jesus. I would like to say the Beatitudes are made flesh in the three saints and in the countless others who are the great communion of saints that urge us on. Take the whole dose, they say. Come and join us in the life of God and in the happiness that only the Christian can fully know. Only the one who has totally and completely followed and taken Christ up on his word can discover that it's true. Yes, John Paul II offering forgiveness to one who tried to destroy him and who failed. And yet John Paul brought that mercy into that prison cell. And Chiara Luce Bedano, in her young life that was racked by bone cancer, in her suffering, she found a joy that was nothing that the world could give. And Mother Teresa, recently called saint in our day, found through service and voluntary poverty and humility, and even through the darkness of many years without consolation, a joy which the world can never even imagine. If there was a sign out in front of the Mount of Beatitudes when Jesus was preaching on that day, it might have said something like happiness. It wouldn't have said Matthew chapter 5 because it hadn't been written yet. Jesus was really making history as he was preaching. But it was a sermon, not just the Beatitudes, but the whole Matthew 5, 6, and 7. How to be happy, a program for happiness. You've been given it, I've been given it. We might even have it on a framed right up on the wall in our home, the Beatitudes, how precious, how beautiful. But until we begin to take seriously, and until we begin living by those Beatitudes, from those Beatitudes, and from the truth of the teaching of Christ and of the church, happiness will be an endless restlessness, and we will not find that for which we were made. Now I would ask the question, where does that leave us? If the saints got it, but we weren't there to listen to that sermon the first time. And it seems in a way like here we are, we've listened to the Beatitudes. Some of you were encouraged to read Matthew chapter 5 last week. I actually saw one or two coming in with their Bible proudly saying, I brought it, Father. I'm going to follow along with the reading. And what a wonderful thing indeed. But make no mistake, when we hear the Beatitudes today and in these coming weeks as we hear the Sermon on the Mount, these are not just lecture notes. They're not just a historical record of the words of Jesus. Remember what the church teaches about what happens at Mass. We'll have a beautiful symbol of the giving of the Bibles to our candidates. Remember, candidates, that Bible makes the most sense, not when you pray with it on your own, not when you open it up in the quiet of your rooms, but when you come to pray with the community of faith. And this is why the Second Vatican Council said so clearly, in the liturgy, God speaks to his people, and Christ is still proclaiming his gospel. The people reply by their song and prayer, elevated by the voices of our singers and musicians. But also, I would add, by their lives we reply. If Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes, the real question is, will we take the whole dose? Will we allow that teaching to transform? The council goes on in Sacrosanctum Concilium, the document on the liturgy, on the Mass, saying that Jesus is present in his word, since it is he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the church. That's what's just happened. And my attempt to comment upon this great sermon, the greatest sermon ever given, is nothing but an echoing back of what Jesus has already spoken in the quiet depths of our hearts as we're gathered here in faith. Yes, the teaching of Christ, as all the teachings of the church, even the most controversial, even the ones that are seemingly most backwards and most behind the times, let's get rid of that teaching and that one too. But my brothers and sisters, Christ taught and the church teaches for one reason, to show us the way to happiness. If we're willing to follow, if we're willing to follow in the path of the saints, for the joy set before us, enduring the cross, taking on that posture as Christ did, reviled, questioned, disputed, ultimately put on the cross. Very quickly, we have two groups in the gospel. We have the crowds and the disciples. We have this choice. Do you want to be more in the crowd, more in the world, or do you want to go up the mountain with Jesus and sit at his feet and become his disciples? We talk rightly a lot about discipleship here at Holy Name. We have a whole new batch of disciples, and let me tell you, they are taking it seriously week after week. They are here on Tuesdays. They're here digging deep. If you feel like you've kind of been superficial in it, candidates, dig deeper. There's more for you ahead. Because each and every one of us here has that definitive choice. Will we be one in the crowd? One looking at Jesus from a distance saying, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy when he fits into my life and my program, my agenda, when he doesn't get in the way of the football schedule, when he's just there on the pedestal and I'm here doing my own thing. But the disciples get right up there and they say, Jesus, teach us. Teach us to pray. Teach us to be happy. And his disciples show themselves for this one reason. They listen to his teaching and they take it seriously. They go down the mountain and they live it out. They trust in it and they prove that it is true. Candidates, as you go down the mountain of this experience and encounter with the Lord, as you continue to draw close in these coming weeks, I'm also inviting the whole parish to gather around you. Let us be the disciples of Jesus. Let us live out his teaching. Let us trust in it. And let us prove to the world that it is true, that Jesus calls us to happiness. And in fact, that happiness, as it was for the saints, is openly given to those who follow. Yes, in our world, there's plenty of energy. There's plenty of money. There's plenty of everything spent in pursuit of happiness. But the central beatitude that I was reflecting on this week is the one right in the middle. It's the fourth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Notice how it doesn't even say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for happiness, but rather thirsting for righteousness or holiness or obedience to God's teaching is the way to find happiness. Sometimes we put our whole heart, our whole scope, our whole desire on happiness alone. The saints didn't even do that. They didn't listen to a great homily on happiness and then go home and say, I'm going to be happy by God. No, they focused their whole goal on becoming holy, on becoming righteous, on being obedient. And what happened? They became the happiest souls on the face of the earth. These smiles that we witnessed, they showed forth to the world. We did make an encouragement to read Matthew chapter 5, and yes, I'm going on longer than I should. I'm aware. Thank you. I can see it. I can see it in your eyes. That's good. But at the end of Matthew chapter 5 is a beautiful verse, and that's why I encourage people to read the whole of Matthew chapter 5. And if you didn't read it before today, you can read it before next week. The final verse of Matthew chapter 5, my microphone is even cutting out, is be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is not anything like the perfection that we have in mind when we hear that word. That word perfect means be that for which you have been made. Become that for which you were created. The saints are the ones who did that. The saints realized they could only fully become human. They could only be fulfilled as humans by becoming more like God in forgiveness and in suffering and in service and voluntary poverty and humility in taking on the very life of Jesus Christ. Yes, in a profound and provocative way, holiness is happiness. Holiness becomes happiness. The beatified show us the power and the truth of the beatitudes on full display. I would finish with one last beatitude. Blessed are those who take the Lord on his word. Blessed are those who are taught by the Lord over and over and don't just reflect on it in their minds, but live it out to the full. This is our faith. This is our hope. This is the joy that we pursue. Amen.